Hello and welcome to episode 005 of Bunts at the Gap. This is Dave. I'm joined by Adam and Sweet Nick in the control room. Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
One thing I love is that we always sign on with 005, like anticipating there eventually being
100
triple digits, at least 100, right? Yeah. But the funny thing is once we get to 10, we're not going to say 010, are we?
010?
No, that's silly.
That's not how people talk.
Well, nobody says 005 either.
Well, we do.
Have we been?
Yep. That's basically...
That's five in
that's
a row.
That's how we've numbered everything, yeah.
We're committed now.
Yeah, I think we have to keep going. And I think, you know, the problem is that in baseball, like, we just talk about numbers in three digits. Like, three decimals, that's basically it. That's the problem. Yeah.
I mean, episode 010, that's a great ERA.
That's... the best ERA of all time. All right. So on today's program, we want to talk about the winter meetings, some free agent signings that the Blue Jays have done, some crazy trades that went down. We wanted to talk a little bit about an article I wrote for BuntsAtTheGap.com about Brett Cecil, and we'll just do a little banter at the end about the Hall of Fame and the BBWAA voting process that's going on right now. So the winter meetings just happened. They came and went. Not so much with a bang for the Blue Jays did they close, but the Blue Jays made a signing. They made a few signings. They made a big signing, I guess, or a big signing for the Shapiro regime.
Yeah, Ken Oberholzer.
Isn't it Brock Oberholzer?
Is it Brock? I don't know.
Great question.
Yeah, I think it is Brock.
Brock Oberholzer. No, maybe it's not. Oh, Brett. Brett Oberholzer.
Oh, Brett. Yeah, well.
All right. So they signed him, that guy.
Big signing.
They signed Steve Pierce, so that's pretty cool. And a whole bunch of other stuff went down.
Let me just check with Nick, though. What is the status of the draft now, Nick? The score?
I was tracking this earlier, so if you go on bunttothegap.com, click on the little podcast link, in the companion to episode 001...
There's two.
What is your face saying? Are you talking about the Blue Jays draft?
Episode 1.
Or episode 2, the free agent draft.
Free agent draft, right?
Oh. So I think you're winning both of them. But did you have Steve Pierce?
Oh, yeah.
For the Jays?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. All right.
Well done.
I didn't have Ken Oberholzer.
I think it's Brett. Brett. I think it's Brett. Okay, so what stood out for you guys for the winter meetings?
I was sort of disappointed with the Jays. I felt like they come out as losers, even though they made a signing that was very not only needed, but also timely and relevant and affordable and valuable for what their budget is.
Yeah.
And Steve Pierce, I still felt like, and this is just me being emotional as a fan, they didn't do enough. They didn't land the big name that we were all hoping for, either Edwin. This is prior to Steve Pierce signing, or yep. Dexter Fowler after. And I felt like relatively, you know, the Cardinals did pretty well for themselves.
So are you more disappointed as a Jays fan or as a baseball fan? Because, like, I hyped myself up for the winter meetings. Like, I was on Twitter. I was refreshing MLB trade rumors. I was there because, like, and a lot of ridiculous trades and signings happened, but I was hyped up because I thought the Blue Jays would be part of it.
Yeah, as a baseball fan, I loved it, though. Yeah. I was really into it, and I thought a lot of teams did well for themselves. I didn't think the Jays did, though. But that's just me being a Jays fan and not me logically thinking, well, Steve Pierce was the right man for the right price. And
so at 2 years, $12.5 million, what do you think about the signing?
I thought it came in under budget from what we drafted in episode 2, so I was happy with it. I think we said $7 million a year almost, I think, right?
Well, I think that's what the crowd at Fangraph said, so yeah, that makes sense. Nick, what are your thoughts on Steve Pierce?
I like Steve Pierce. He hits well against lefties, and that's something we really needed. 2 years, $12.5 million isn't a huge burden on the team, but yeah, I'm underwhelmed overall. I think we all kind of wanted a lot keep going on the momentum we've had over the last 2 years. But I think Steve Pierce is going to be exactly what we paid for.
Yeah, like the only drawback I see with Steve Pierce is his number of games played on average.
Yeah.
Maybe in the last 5 seasons, the most games he's ever played in 1 year is 102, and that's with the 2014 Orioles. So that kind of worries me, but if they signed him fully expecting him to platoon with Smoke at first base for half the season, exactly half almost, then I guess it's a good signing.
It's a good signing if he plays 162 games. Like, he won't, and I think that's probably why the price was a little underwhelming.
I was saying to myself, why would you pay only $6.5 million for Steve Pierce if he can hit, run, and field, and pay $11 million a year for Kendrys Morales, who can only hit, the difference being the number of games played. But if Kendrys can only do half the things, but for all the games, and Steve Pierce can do all the things for half the games, I mean, what what's the difference, right? Yeah. Kendrys is probably a better hitter, though.
So, Nick, looking at the rest of the free agents and kind of evaluating what the Jays still have to do, you put together a list of some of the transactions that have taken place, and I believe you kind of wanted to get our sense of what we thought about them.
Yeah. So I broke them up a bit, and I'll give you a list of guys, and after each one, just tell me what you think in a couple words. So let's start with some of the Jays who aren't signed. We have Andy Burns outrighted to the minors.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Like, if Andy wanted to produce and could have produced, he would have produced. Like, he got his shot this year, and it, you know, he didn't seize the opportunity, and he may be back with the Jays, he may not. So, yeah.
I think if there were any year for Andy Burns to stand out, it would have been last year, but now he has that logjam at first base. He can play third, right? But not great.
Yeah. I'm using air quotes to say third here.
Yeah. Okay.
A bit more interestingly, Chris Colabello refused assignment to the minors, and he's now a free agent. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't blame him. You really got the sense the organization didn't want him, or... So, like, I don't know what happened necessarily in that clubhouse, and there's stuff that we weren't privy to, but, like, he wasn't a September call-up. He wasn't considered for a postseason bat off the bench, you know, knowing that they were even just trotting out Justin Smoke as a backup first baseman. So, I'm not surprised by it at all. And he's a veteran guy, and maybe a rebuilding team, somebody like, I don't know, who knows, those, like the Brewers will take a flyer on him and throw him a minor league contract with a big league invite, and he can start fresh with a new organization.
Yeah, he was an older guy. He got good out of nowhere. He got discovered for having a substance in his body. He had a talk with his teammates. He got suspended. He came back and was bad. And that's all I have to say about that. I enjoyed his time when he was good. But aside from that, whatever. I wish him the best.
All right. So we talked quite a bit already about R.A. Dickey and Brett Cecil, but one pitcher who got signed to a new team kind of flew under the radar.
Wait. You're not going to ask me about Dickey?
Okay. R.A. Dickey.
I love the Dickey signing.
Atlanta for love the Dickey signing. 1 year.
I love it. I don't know. It's $8 million bucks for Atlanta. It's an innings eater. They're probably going to be bad. But, you know, they can sell Dickey t-shirts and Dickey jerseys. It's fine for them.
I hope Dickey and Cologne keep playing just to, like, outlast each other. So, like, they both end up playing into their 50s. That's what I hope.
Just to spite each other.
Or friendly competition.
Friendly competition, yeah.
Or to spite each other.
So, Joaquin Benoit signed to the Phillies for $7.5 million for 1 year contract.
Yep.
Okay, well, a few weeks ago, I thought he'd be more expensive than Jason Grilley, and I think I was right.
Yeah, $7 million is that's a lot of money for Joaquin. And, like, that's a guy with a history of being successful, but last year he was good for half the year, and it's a guy that's, you know, he's battled some injuries, and I don't know. I guess it fills a need for the Phillies, but it's a lot of money. I just get the feeling that they were signing a veteran guy to hit the salary floor.
Yeah.
They got to spend their money somewhere, and they don't have a lot of expensive guys. Like Ryan Howard's off the books.
So if the Jays are talking about getting faster and more left-handed, here's a familiar face. Ben Revere was non-tendered by the Washington Nationals and is now a free agent.
Yeah, I don't know. People have talked about Ben Revere. I have my own problems with Ben Revere. He doesn't walk, and you know he's kind of a free swinger, but he doesn't hit with runners in scoring position either, which is I hated when he was with the Jays, but like because he always swings and he refuses to take a walk. I don't want the Jays to be anywhere near Ben Revere.
Ben Revere is like the ex significant other that was really nice, but like you just fell out of love. I don't know. It wasn't unamicable or ugly or anything. It's just, you know, I wish them the best and I hope I never see you again kind of thing.
It's kind of like your first girlfriend and you're like sorting out what a relationship is. I don't know where this metaphor is going and I'm sure it's going to be terrible, but stick with me for a second. It's like, you kind of realize, like, oh, okay, I didn't really love you at all. You just kind of filled a need for me.
But if you run into them at the grocery store or something, it's never awkward or anything. It's just, hey, how's it going? And that's it.
I don't know if it was too personal. Like, I don't know if I'm this is like a therapy session for me. But anyways, I'm saying maybe that's how some people feel about their first relationships.
And this has been Talking with Dave on Relationships on Bunt to the Gap.
I know this is why you come to your baseball podcast.
So this is why I come to our baseball podcast for hot Jays talk. We can remove that, right? That sounded terrible.
I don't think I'm ever going to. That may be how we start every episode from now on. This is hot Jays talk.
Okay.
And it was like, it was the weird, the breathy voice that you put with
it. Oh, no, it was that.
Like, and it was like, it sounded like those late night infomercials. It's like, I'm calling hot Jays talk. I'm staying in tonight and calling hot Jays talk.
Oh, all I got think a of real Liz Lemon from 30 Rock when she was on the sex phone.
Real
commercial.
Close to the mic.
Yeah,
1-800-OK-FACE.
Simon, not even seven numbers.
If you want to dial in, it's 1-800-HOT-JAYS.
No, that's the right amount of numbers.
I know. No. I know what 1-800-HOT-JAYS is.
All right. Okay. Is that everybody? We got to speed this along.
Let's cool it down. Let's lukewarm Jays talk.
One or two words per person going forward.
All right. So let's talk catchers. Three have been signed already. Jason Castro went to Minnesota. Wilson Ramos went to Tampa Bay. And Wellington Castile was just signed today to Baltimore for 1 year plus one player option. The catchers are coming off the board pretty quick. What are the Jays' options for backup to Russell Martin?
I was mad when I saw all three of those people leave, and I didn't think the Jays would ever afford all of them, but
yeah, like, I mean, Jason Castro I thought was strange. 3 years was kind of a long commitment for a guy that has kind of started to go downhill. Wilson Ramos, that was a surprising signing by the Rays. I didn't expect them to be able to play on Wilson Ramos at all, because he had a pretty good season before he got injured, and so I thought there would be, you know, some more expensive players in there.
Some risk, though, to it, because he's not coming back till May, and then he may not be as good.
Yeah, whatevs.
But I think it's good for them.
And Wellington Castillo.
Says a lot about what the Orioles thought about Matt Wieters.
Well, yeah. I don't know Wieters' defensive metrics, so maybe they're just moving on from him, and they need better pitch framing. So in terms of guys still available, Matt Wieters, Nick Huntley, I'm drawing a blank now, but what's his name from Minnesota?
Chris Iannetta's available.
Chris Iannetta's available.
Jays were talking to him.
Man, what's that guy's from Minnesota? Kurt Suzuki, like... yeah, it'd be interesting to see, because I don't think they're going to spend a whole lot of money on a backup catcher.
All right. So there a lot of big names went got signed during the winter meetings. A couple I want to touch on and see, hear your opinions. John Jay, Chicago Cubs, $8 million for 1 year.
Good.
Yeah. John Jay, though, by syllable, is one of the shortest names you can get. So not so much a big name.
Not 1-800 John Jay.
Yeah. Cespedes went to the Mets for 4 years, $110 million. I thought that was fine. I thought it would set the market for kind of Jose Bautista and Encarnacion a little bit. And once I thought once Cespedes signed, some of those dominoes would fall. And it didn't happen. Those guys are still floating around in free agency.
What about Aroldis Chapman going back to the Yankees, $86 million over 5 years?
That one I didn't get. That one I didn't like. That one, Chapman's kind of a jerk. I don't really like him. But I mean, like, I get that the Yankees have signed him with the expectation that 2 to 3 years from now he's still Aroldis Chapman, and then they'll need him. They're not going to need him next year, but they've basically just locked him up. And as Jays fans know, in the past, they've seen it with BJ Ryan that, you know, signing a reliever for 5 years can be troublesome sometimes.
He had a few options in there too, right? And partial no trade and something like a full no trade for 3 and then a partial for 2. Whatever. Yeah, it is what it is.
My only concern with the Aroldis Chapman signing is if that's going to start a trend in Major League Baseball, trading away a guy who can get you some prospects, who's got 1 year left on his deal, come free agency, just say, hey, welcome back. Here's another couple million dollars.
Very well could have. I'm sure it's not unprecedented that teams have, you know, quietly whispered to the guy they're trading, hey, we'll pay you big time to come back, but it is what it is.
Yes, Roldis's contract, he's got 2 player options on the 4th and 5th year.
Yeah. Okay.
What'd you think of the Jorge Soler trade for Wade Davis?
I liked it.
Yeah, that one made sense. Made sense for both sides. I think the Cubs got a better deal.
Based on need, I think the Cubs got a better deal, but yeah. I liked it. Yeah, it was good.
Cubs also, and this is reported because the news just broke this evening, signed Koji Uehara to a $6 million 1 year deal.
I thought that was reported a few days ago. Because a few days ago, I remember looking at Twitter and being like, that guy was a free agent.
Well, all these signings are, I think, becoming official now.
Like, yeah.
The Rockies announced the Desmond signing yesterday or something like that officially, and they've been just kind of... Ken Rosenthal has had them for 3 months now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lastly, I guess the hot button issue for most Jays fans, Dexter Fowler to St. Louis, $82.5 million over 5 years with a full no-trade clause.
Yeah, I mean, 5 years, that's what they got.
Yeah, it was like, the extra year.
That's how they got him.
That's how they got Cecil, that's how they got Fowler.
Yeah. I thought the hot button issue that we'd want to talk about is Chris Sale going to the Red Sox. And what that means for the Red Sox next year and what it means for the Jays. And basically, if it means the Jays are fighting for a wild card, like, out of the gate.
I think what I'm hoping for is that Chris Sale is just a terrible human being and that teammates hate playing with him. And so that he just causes a rift in that clubhouse.
So, you know what I thought was interesting is we heard all this talk about the Tigers selling. You know, they're like, oh, well, we have this great veteran starting pitchers that maybe people would want, got young outfielders that maybe people would want. And then the White Sox just showed up and did like exactly
everything
that.
The Tigers
just exactly
that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so now the Tigers are in this weird position where it's like, who's going to be good in that division? Like the Royals, maybe this is the end of their window this year. The Twins are going to be bad. The White Sox are selling everything. And so Cleveland has the division, but there's 2 wild cards. So, like, I think Detroit's in this very weird position now where they may hang on to some pieces and try to go for that second wild card.
This is the window.
Yeah. This may be the end of it for them. Like, this is this year, and then it's a complete teardown.
Okay. Anybody else you want to talk about?
Yeah. The big signing that was announced today, I think. Well, not announced, but reported today. The Blue Jays signed TJ House. He will get a minor league deal and an invite to spring training.
Glenn Anthony House.
Yep. Do you know why they call him TJ?
Tommy John.
All right.
He eats a ton of jerky.
Nope. Let me read you this article from Ohio.com.
What's that?
He's a big fan of the TV show Recess.
Yeah.
So, TJ House... let me just read this paragraph. TJ House isn't a TJ at all, but Glenn Anthony House. So where did the TJ come from? And this is quotes here. My father is Tiger Jr., so my aunt gave me the nickname TJ to separate us.
So he's Does that Tiger make any Jr. sense also?
To you? Does that make any sense to you? He's Tiger Jr. Jr. His name is Glenn Anthony already. And so that's how you separate him. Like, just call him Glenn. Just, it's like, well, okay, we got to differentiate. I'm going to call you TJ.
Oh, man. Oh.
Well, I mean, it's better than...
If it's your mom that says that, okay, then you have to, like, maybe listen to that. But it's your aunt? You don't have to listen to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awful.
Yeah.
Unless she raised him. I don't know. Who am I to judge? Could have been a Full House.
Well, yeah. That's all right. Well, whatever. Anyways, it's not Bossman Jr., so Tiger Jr. is, I guess, now a potential Blue Jay. So that... You know, could be interesting. I called him 2017's Gavin Floyd on Twitter.
I got nothing. I got nothing for that.
That was one of my better jokes, I thought. All right, we're going to take a break. These guys are going to roll in their chairs in laughter, and then we'll be back on Bunch of the Gap. Welcome back to Hot Jays Talk. We are talking about Brett Cecil here. sorry. Adam, you wanted to ask me a few questions I wrote, or you wanted to ask me a few questions about an article I wrote for BuntTheGap.com about Brett Cecil and Brett Cecil moving to the NL Central.
Yeah, so Dave, you wrote an article for BuntTheGap.com.
That's true, I did.
Called Rizzo, Votto, Meet Brett Cecil.
Yep.
Posted December 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't actually read this article.
You probably maybe should have.
I skimmed it, but okay. I wanted to ask you before we get into the details of it, the nitty gritty.
Yep.
Yes or no to these questions.
Okay.
Does it have color photos?
Yes.
GIF images?
Yes.
2016 pitch breakdowns versus left-handed hitters?
Yes, it does.
More GIFs versus Chris Davis and David Ortiz?
Yes.
A breakdown of left-handed hitters in the National League?
Yes.
Strike zone heat maps?
Yes.
Some kind of conclusion.
Yes.
Great. It sounds like a great article now.
I mean, conclusions.
Adam, I just have one correction for you.
Conclusion is the wrong word.
I have one correction for you, Adam.
Yeah.
It's pronounced GIFs.
What do you think I said?
It's not pronounced GIFs. It's pronounced GIFs.
No, it's pronounced GIFs.
It's GIFs. It's with a G.
Should we ask the guy who invented GIFs, Nick?
I don't care what he says.
All right, well, we'll ask Joe Biagini what he thinks about it, Nick. of all your questions, I don't think there's a conclusion. This is just speculation, really. You'll see by the GIFs that basically Cecil's out pitch, like his strikeout pitch, his go-to when he needs a strikeout against a left-handed hitter, is a curveball away. So starting in and breaking off the plate for a left-handed hitter, he uses that curveball 68% of the time with two strikes. So he uses it 61% of the time just when he's ahead in a count. So that is his pitch. Basically, I called it the Cecil zone, but in, 2016, he used that pitch 34.75% of the time to left-handed hitters in that location. So that is where he's burying that pitch. So I just took a quick look at, what it might mean for Joey Votto and Anthony Rizzo, knowing that Brett Cecil was the guy that came in to face David Ortiz, and he was the guy that came in to face Chris Davis when those sluggers were coming up through the lineup. So, yeah.
So historically, how have Joey Votto and Anthony Rizzo performed against left-handed pitchers?
So They are very good hitters. I don't think I have their career numbers in here. Oh, yeah, I do. So Votto career against lefties is 900 OPS. So against lefties, he's got a 900 OPS, which is pretty damn good. It was like amazing, right? But he's Joey Votto, so against like righties, I think his career OPS is 970 or something around those lines. And he hits curveballs from lefties pretty damn well, except in the Cecil zone.
Okay.
So the interesting thing to consider here is that he's still Joey Votto and he's still got a great batter's eye. So he doesn't necessarily always swing at that pitch. But lifetime, he's 2-for-20 in the Cecil zone from curveballs against left-handed hitters. So that's a 100 average. If he can lay off those pitches, because frequently those balls end up off the plate, and you know if he can keep that good batter's eye, he may have a chance. If not, he may be chasing a lot of those pitches. Anthony Rizzo, similarly, you know, in the Cecil zone, is 2-for-26 career. So that shows you. Either there's missing data in the pitch effects, or he's more willing to swing at those pitches. But he's a career 77 batter against curveballs from lefties in the Cecil zone. So I imagine you'll see a lot of curveballs from Brett Cecil there, and I think it'll just be a fun, interesting matchup. Like the funnest part about watching Chris Davis against Brett Cecil was Chris Davis getting frustrated.
Just utter frustration, yeah.
Exactly. And so hopefully we see some more of that from the best hitters in baseball.
So what's the secret then as a left-handed hitter to succeeding against Brett Cecil?
Yeah, that's tough. Like, I don't know if I necessarily can say that. You know, in his career, David Ortiz has done pretty well against Cecil, and I think he's just seen him a lot. But part of it is, you know, recognizing the pitch, understanding the pitch, and if you see that curveball coming in, know that like it may end up off the plate. So I think it's just a matter of patience with Cecil.
So Ortiz has done well, but he's also struck out the second most against Cecil too, right?
Yep, but he's also faced him.
Exactly, it's just a volume thing, right? Okay. I guess I have no other questions. Like, is there one, I guess, so all-encompassing thing that you want to tell us about Brett before we take a break, or?
Yeah, well, I was just going to go back to Ortiz, but I mentioned in the article that he's a career 793 OPS against Cecil, so that's not awful, but he's a career 219 hitter.
Yeah.
So he's just patient, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the approach that Joey Votto and Anthony Rizzo should take. They can't, you know, go up there trying to swing, and I think that's part of the problem is that Chris Davis goes up there with the game on the line and tries to hack at anything.
We probably expect that more from Votto, though, to be patient, yeah, than Rizzo, right?
Yeah, exactly. Rizzo's a young guy, so again, he could, you know, look to be a game changer in some of those situations, and I think if he's patient, he can out-duel Cecil.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. This is Bunt the Gap.
Welcome back to Bunt the Gap. This is not Hot Jays Talk, but Nick is going to treat us to some hot trivia. Nick, what do you got?
Okay, so fun little thing happened today. MLB tweeted out, on this date in 1954, the Dodgers signed 18-year-old Southpaw Sandy Koufax. So I thought it'd be fun to do some Sandy Koufax trivia.
All right, I'm in for some Sandy Koufax trivia.
I'm also in.
Two pitchers have won multiple World Series championships, multiple Cy Young Awards, thrown multiple no-hitters, and have been elected to multiple All-Star games. One is Sandy Koufax. Who is the other? Currently active pitcher.
Okay, so two pitchers.
Two pitchers have won multiple World Series championships, multiple Cy Young Awards, have thrown multiple no-hitters, and been elected to multiple All-Star games. One is Sandy Koufax. The other is who? Pick from A, B, C, or D. Is it A, John Lester, B, Madison Bumgarner, C, Tim Lincecum, or D, Cole Hamels?
I'm going to go with Lincecum.
Yeah, and just because you've gone Lincecum, I'm going to go Bumgarner.
Lincecum is correct. The Damn. Only other well pitcher.
Yeah.
Other than Sandy Koufax, who was signed on this date, 1954.
And both of their careers ended due to injury.
What do you mean?
Yeah, his career's not
Lincecum's
over.
Pitching.
Lincecum's career is pretty much over.
Pretty much over. Yes, pretty quotes. Much over. Absolutely correct. Yeah. But not over.
Okay.
Like, if you're in the Angels farm system, you've got issues. All right, anything else?
That was all from me.
All right. So this has been episode 005 of Bunt to the Gap. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/BuntToTheGap, on Instagram or on Twitter at Bunt to the Gap. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play Music, or basically anywhere else you get your podcasts. Please rate and review the podcast if you enjoy it. It really helps us. And, you know, there's only 61 days until pitchers and catchers report, so hang in there, Blue Jays fans.